All right, dealing with a new computer. Really happy to have the new computer. It's beautiful. But trying to get signed in, not an easy thing to do in 4 minutes. Hey, welcome into Gwen and Chris, starting off a new week here, a manic Monday on Gwen and Chris. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., traveling with the Padres in Seattle tonight. Padres and Mariners. Matt Scraby's alongside here in the Odyssey Palace. We got a lot to get done. Of course, Tony will be heading on over to the ballpark here shortly, so we'll chat with him as long as we can. We do have a lot going on the show today. I believe there was a big series here over the weekend, Tony. Dodgers came to town, and they came to town in first place. They left town, and they were still in first place, but the Padres had joined them. So I think all in all, should be pleased with how things worked out over the 3 days.
I concur. You know, it'd been nice to get the sweep, but instead they take 2 or 3. They Dodgers leave here with a buddy in first place. They don't know if they're by themselves. And so some progress was made. And so now you got to quickly, like, turn the page, though, because this Seattle Mariner team is no joke. They got some good pitching, some guys that we didn't see last time. Miller throwing the day. You got Castilla, I believe, this game two, and I believe Wu the third. So
yeah, they're all good.
All three dudes can bring him. This is only Miller's second start since coming off the IL, but as nice as that series was, you lose yesterday's game, you turn the page and start getting ready for this Seattle Mariner team.
The old saying, you're only as good as your last at bat. And so, you know, we're going to talk about yesterday's game. We will get to it. There was, you know, one decision that Mike Shildt made that did not work. And, and I'll tell you one thing. You would think the Padres lost all three games, by the way. Some people are reacting to that. We will get to it. I promise you. We will go through the ins and outs of the decision to use Jeremiah Estrada. But, you know, before yesterday, Tony, we should talk about the first two games a little bit. The Padres played incredible baseball, number one. Number two, they pitched incredible. And I heard this statistic, and I couldn't believe it. Maybe I read it. But first game, you had 6 innings, 1 hit, Yu Darvish. Second game, Nestor Cortes, 6 innings, 1 hit. That was the first time that had happened to the Dodgers since they moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Back-to-back games where they were shut down like that. And that was not shutting down just any team. You were shutting down, you know, at least 3 Hall of Famers at the top of the order and some other pretty good hitters along the way. The only batter they did not get out the first two games was Alex Freeland, a rookie who hit his first 2 career home runs. Other than that, wow, was that impressive by the Padres pitching. I mean, you've got to sit back and just almost in awe of how they were able to stop them the way they were.
Yeah, no, that was the challenge, right? Because they didn't play well in the previous series. They didn't play well at all outside of game one. And that was really the challenge. They had to come in. They knew they had to play clean baseball. In 2 of the 3 starts in Los Angeles, the starting pitching did not fare well, and that included Yu Darvish and Dylan Cease, right? The one start that did go well was the night they used the opener. And so you fast forward to this series, exact opposite. You really got 3 really, really good starts from your starting pitching. And 2 of the 3, bullpen held. And the last one, Jeremiah had a rough outing. And outside of that, that was as well as you could have hoped for in terms of how they played.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And to me, last Monday, well, just look at it this way. We walked in here, sat down in here last Monday, having just been swept and being 2 games out. And I think a lot of people thought, sky is falling, et cetera, et cetera. And what a great week. I mean, you get a little thanks to the Rockies. Heck, they took 2 out of 4 from the Dodgers. helped open the door a little bit. Padres took care of business with the Giants and then got their 2 out of 3. So now you're back even. You got 31 games left. I thought Gavin Sheets said it best. I thought Mike Schilt said it best. It's exactly where you want to be, exactly where you could have possibly hoped you would be. I don't think there are too many people who, if they were being honest, would have said in spring training or April that they wouldn't have taken being tied for first with 31 games to go. And that's exactly where they are, and now it's going to be whichever team plays the best is going to win. I love it. This is what we signed up for.
Yep, exactly what I think everybody signed up for. And so, yeah, at this point, they won't play each other again, which sucks. I've already made enough of a stink about that. I'll move on.
I would think so. Yeah, we all have. Yeah.
But, you know, and their schedule's fairly the same. I mean, Dodgers may have one more team in there that the Padres don't have to see.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's a pretty easy schedule. We said this the other day. It doesn't really matter what the schedule is. You still got to go out and take care of business. But the race continues. The sprint continues here with 31 games to go.
Yeah. The schedule, look, first of all, you got both teams have 16 games left at home. Both teams have 15 games left on the road. So there's no advantage there. Both teams play Seattle, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Rockies at least once, and Arizona at least once. So those five series cancel each other out if you're looking at the schedule. Now, the Dodgers have two series with San Francisco and an extra one with Arizona. First of all, I don't mind the Dodgers playing San Francisco because that Giant-Dodger rivalry, even though it's down and out a little bit,
for sure.
Giants are always going to get up to play, and their fans are going to get up to play the Dodgers.
They had a good weekend against the Brewers, too.
They did. And you're going to get a solid effort there from San Francisco. The other two series for the Dodgers are Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is obviously the one that stands out. For the Padres, they've got an extra series with Colorado. Can't ask for more than that. They got an extra series with the White Sox. Can't ask for more than that. They got one this coming weekend with the Twins, who've been pretty down the second half. And then the two are the Mets for the Padres and the last week against Milwaukee. I think the bottom line is, Tony, I don't even want to hear anything about the schedule. It is what it is. The Padres, if they don't win the division, have no excuses. They've got every shot to take this.
I can't wait to hear the heartburn when the Padres face the Rockies. There's going to be so much, oh, my gosh, we're facing Rockies.
Not the Rockies.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be so much of that. Watch.
I'll lead the charge on that, Tony.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. You're right, though. This is you just got to take care of business. Good teams take care of business when they're supposed to, and this is that time of year. It's going to be the difference in the division, ultimately, right? I mean, whoever takes care of business better from this point forward is going to be the division winner. And we don't even know how it's going to shake out in terms of the buys. We don't know. You know, you just mentioned, is that me? That is me.
No, that's my phone. I'm trying to get signed onto this new computer. Believe me, it's an effort.
It is throwing him for a loop.
I know, I've been looking at this black screen for a while.
I'll have to go, whatever.
In the break, I will help Chris.
You're going to have black screen for maybe the whole day, Tony. Don't get ready for it. I'm sorry.
All right, we'll both. I'll join you there. They'll both be.
Wait, no, I'm just on the camera. No one wants to just see me.
But yeah, man, this is. See, here's a sprint. Let's see who takes care of business better.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, this is. Yeah, we could not have asked for anything more than this. And the atmosphere was incredible at Petco Park. Friday night it was great. Saturday night it was incredible. Sunday. You know, all day long, I want to thank the fan who was, you know, individually heckling Shohei Ohtani the entire day. I don't know that we necessarily needed to do that. You know, we had him pretty quiet there at 0-10, and, you know, you keep it up, he's going to get you.
I was fussing about it in my talk box to the guys in the truck.
Yeah.
Because I could hear him the whole game. And he was it was just a matter of time. You just knew it. It just knew it. It's like, the closer the game got, I was like, he's gonna spark a fire somewhere. I don't know where it's gonna be yet. And sure enough, Ohtani gets him. And I thought it was hilarious that Ohtani actually acknowledged that he was getting on his nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Here's the other thing. I mean, look, the first thing I thought of as soon as the Dodgers had that big inning yesterday was, did we honestly expect they were just going to step aside for the Padres' coronation? And the answer is no. And that's fine. This is the way you should be. You should have to go and take it and outplay them and get it. You know, the Dodgers are champion team right now. They have the World Series trophy at the moment. They've won this division 12 of the last 13 years. They do feel like it's kind of their right to win this thing. So the fact that the Padres had a chance to go two games up on them yesterday, whether or not any Dodger wanted to admit it or not, I'm sure they took this as being one of the most important games that they played in a long time. Certainly a more important regular season game they played in a long time. And, you know, credit to them. And Freddie Freeman's a Hall of Fame player. He hit two home runs. You know, I just think it's funny because when the Padres lose, I think the first reaction is always to say it was on the Padres. And, you know, I know we're going to talk more about Jeremiah, but he did not take the ball and throw it over the right field fence.
No, he didn't.
You know, the guy had to hit it 375 feet, and he did.
Yeah, I don't care
about
that, though.
I know you don't, but I'm trying to remind people that the other team is actually trying to win, too. And, you know, the Dodgers, I didn't expect them to just step aside and watch us waltz through. So I expect it's going to be tough, and so be it.
I try to stay level-headed when I'm watching the games, but, you know, I was at the game yesterday. I was feeling good about everything. And then they walk Conforto, give up the home run to Dalton Rushing, and that brings my fan out, which is like annoyed that they walk Conforto, who's not good this year, and Dalton Rushing has a below 200 batting average and he hits a three-run shot. That annoyed me.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. Because a lot of people thought Mike Schilt, you know, lost.
Now, I'm not saying I'm annoyed with the decision. I'm just annoyed with the result.
With the result. Let's talk about the decision. Let's talk about why he made it, why he should have made it, why he shouldn't have made it, the complaining that's going on out there. And, you know, then we'll be able to hopefully move past it. But I think we got to address it. We will. I know the media addressed it. I know Mike Schilt addressed it. We'll take our shot at it. We're underway. It's Gwynn and Chris. The Padres are tied for first place. Let's not forget that is a good thing, right? And we will take it from there. Tony's up in Seattle where the Padres play the Mariners tonight. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Jeremiah has obviously been incredible this year. Struggled a bit against the Dodgers. Wondering what, if there was any thought to not using him in that lane there, or why you did.
I'll start with the first part. You know, Jeremiah's been outstanding all day. He was in a lane that, quite frankly, he's been great for us. You know, people can run from people. I personally don't. You know, it's easy to, I don't know what that question led to, but all I can tell you is it was a lane that he has had success with that lane, starting at Pajes. We felt good about all of it. He gave up a ground ball single. The walk to Conforto obviously was important. Got Rojas. Didn't go to Maury Hone because that brings in Will Smith.
The idea that you have a pitcher who has given up, you know, last night gave up a homer. Dodgers seem to be giving him some trouble. Doesn't matter. That the lane is what
I'm not
matters.
Saying it doesn't matter. All I'm telling you is, do you want me to answer the question or do you
I'm
want
sorry,
to?
Sorry, I meant that it was a question. Like, that doesn't matter. I was trying to get to the bottom of it's simply about you trust Jeremiah in that lane.
I just explained the answer and you just repeated the question again. I'm not sure what to say. I trusted him in the lane, okay? I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what you keep wanting me to explain to you.
I mean, go.
Mm. Well, there. Well, yeah. Now there. Tony Gwynn. Here, 2:20 on the clock, a little bouncing back and forth there between Schilty and Kev. Yeah, that's really what this segment's about. Estrada being in the game at that point. Many people feel like because he has struggled against the Dodgers that he shouldn't have been in that spot.
That's right.
And
that's what they think. Tony should never pitch against the Dodgers again, apparently. There were so many reasons to bring him in. And here's, first of all, I would hope that somebody will record this, what I'm about to say, and I want them to send it directly to Mike Schilt. The reason I want them to send it to Mike Schilt is because I am his number one apologist. I am on his personal payroll, and he pays me to say nice things about him. So I just
Can
want
you
to
pass
address
some of that along, man.
Yeah, I do. I want to address all the people that think
I'm saying some of the money you get. Can you pass some of that along?
Please. Yes, I will take you guys out
Share a little.
We're all going to Mr. A's because I've said a lot of nice things about him lately, and he's been giving me a ton of money. I'm trying to address all the people who think I only am saying something to stick up for him because I'm his apologist and I'm his best friend. Here's the deal. You had in that situation, A, Pivetta 6 innings, 90-some-odd pitches, he was done. B, Jason Adam not available. C, Miller, Suarez, 8th, 9th. So now we're at the 7th inning, and you're looking at the inning. And you have your choice, let's say, of Jeremiah Estrada or Adrian Mordejon. If you bring Mordejon in to start the inning, you probably end up having to face both Alex Call as a pinch hitter and Will Smith as a pinch hitter. They are much better hitters than both Michael Conforto and even Dalton Rushing. Also, by going with Estrada, you were allowed to face Pajes with a right-hander. So I totally get why he went Estrada to start. And I understand why he was still in the game to face Rushing, because as he said, Mike Schilt said, if he takes him out and brings Mordejon in, now he's got to get Will Smith out, who's one of the top hitters in the league. The bottom line is Estrada gave up a ground ball for a hit. He gave up a walk, and I'm going to give... I hate to do this because people don't ever want to recognize the other team, Tony. That was a really good walk by Conforto. He took 3 or 4 really good pitches that were close. He also fouled off 2 or 3 to stay alive. I have to tip my cap. I didn't want to walk him, but it was a good walk. After he got Rojas out, up came Rushing. And this was the one mistake I thought Estrada made here, was he fell behind this guy 3-1.
Yeah.
And now what do you got to do? If you walk this guy, now Otani's coming up with the bases loaded. In my mind, if I'm pitching, it's impossible not to know Otani's standing over there. So I have to give Rushing something to hit here. I just have to. I painted myself into a corner. And he gave him something to hit. And again, I credit Rushing. He hit the ball out of the ballpark. Home run. I don't understand the vitriol that is directed at Mike Schilt, who has, I believe, managed one of the best bullpens in baseball all year, but in the minds of people yesterday, forgot what he was doing, forgot how to do it.
I think, again, we're running into the fanatic part of the word fan, because, you know, most of the people leaving the ballpark yesterday were like, okay, well, at least we took the series. So I'm going to go with that crowd and I'm going to hang out with that crowd. But I understand that there are people who want to know something like, why not David Morgan instead of Jeremiah Estrada? And so they're both right-handers. They both throw heat. Jeremiah Estrada has more experience, but David Morgan's been really good. So those are the questions I'm
saying. Tony, what is your thoughts? I pretty much I know what I think I know, but I want you to express them if you would.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there could have been, you know, they could have decided, you know, we want the Mordejon Will Smith matchup and gone that route, which would have preceded a whole bunch of other moves that would be countered by that. And the bottom line is they felt they had the right guy in. Regardless of how I feel, how you feel, how everybody else feels, that's what they went with. And when it doesn't go right, guess what? There's going to be folks out there that question the move. I thought the move was solid. I think for a couple other reasons besides the ones that you named. At some point, you know, Jeremiah is going to have to get the Dodgers out. And it's next time is probably going to come via postseason. You know what I'm saying? And so there is a longer game involved in this. But I think even short term, Mike Schilt has shown all year long, guys who have blown a save, blown something, he's going to get you right back out there to try to go ahead and master. It didn't work. He, as Chris, I think you described it perfectly. He hung. I don't think he wanted to hang the slider. I think he wanted to make a good pitch there, but that's kind of what happens when you do have somebody of Ohtani on there. You know, you don't want to put him on and load the bases there. You want to go ahead and try to, make a pitch. He didn't make a good one. And as you said, Dalton Rushing deserves some credit for taking advantage of the mistake there in a big spot. It's not like Dalton Rushing's been ripping the cover off a baseball. He has not been doing that. And so, he got a mistake. He took advantage of it. This will not deter Mike Schilt from going back to Estrada. Again, it just won't. Outside of the Dodgers, there's been no issues for Jeremiah Estrada. As you've just gone over, he's got the second most holds in the league. He's got the fourth and most in the league, second most in the National League. He's had a terrific year. He was the only one that just barely missed being an all-star. We talked about that on Friday when he was on. But yeah, you know, Scraby's also right. The majority of people who walked out of that stadium were like, all right, cool, we took two or three. Would have loved to have gotten the sweep. It didn't go that way. And we'll move forward. After this last week, I think all you guys have realized that's just how it's going to be. Like, people go complain.
Yeah.
They're going to have something to say about every move, whether it works good or whether it works bad. And so, and it's typically not that many people. Because a lot of people don't really care enough to be out on Twitter just letting it fly. Like, they don't. They might have this conversation with their friends amongst themselves, but they don't care enough to be on Twitter to be out there just, you know.
Oh, but they want to get on Twitter if they can get a shot in at me and, you know, tell me that I'm a Mike Schilt apologist.
Are they wrong?
Of course they're wrong. I criticize him all the time, as a matter of fact. And I also don't even know him. I don't think he would even say hello to me if I walked past him. So here's the other thing. Tony, you hit, I think, your best point, you know, a lot of one. But the one I liked there was that Mike Schilt does a good job, whether you like it out there or not, of playing the long game. Not always for the moment, sometimes for the moment, but a lot of times not. Estrada's a seventh inning pitcher. Is he going to tell him that, you know what, now you're not, and make him wonder about it?
Isn't Jason Adam the seventh inning pitcher? He was unavailable, but.
So he was the likely guy in that spot.
Yeah.
And Estrada's been there all year. Mike Schilt puts guys in the spot that they're used to being in. That doesn't mean they're always going to execute it.
That's a point that everybody needs to go back to. That is usually Jason Adams' spot. He was not available because he had pitched the previous two nights and pitched well. So this is how it works. Like, someone's got to slide into that spot. That next guy is Jeremiah, and it just didn't work out. Man, guess what? It's just baseball. That's how baseball goes, man. It's just how it is. And he'll be better. I don't think he's going to go into the tank now because he had a couple bad spots against the Dodgers. He hadn't done that.
His quotes after the game were, you know, I like Jeremiah Estrada because he takes accountability for making a bad pitch. And
stood
then,
up. He didn't go
he
hide in the training room.
No, he takes accountability for it. He says he needs to be better. And I fully believe that he will be better next time he's out there.
But you can't throw him in the tank, though. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
no.
As a manager, his part of his job is to help them get through these type of things. And so, you know, there's a way you got to go about doing it, whether people understand it or not.
They don't.
Tony has been drilling it into my head for the past week that, you know, it's maybe a loud minority of people that are in our ears.
But
about
even
things.
But even you said as soon as the ball flew out of the air,
annoyed.
It comes out right.
Yeah, but I didn't go to my Twitter and say, "What are they doing?"
That's because
I need to get
me.
Off Twitter. Yeah, I really do for a little bit.
I like debating with the fans. I like talking with the fans. But it's the people that go in there and they're like, "You're an idiot. No wonder I don't listen to your show." Like, what's the point of saying that? I don't get it.
They don't have to worry about listening to my show anymore. I've been fired and had to quit all weekend long, so that's fine. Hey, look, I think we're in a great spot, and this is where I want to be ultimately. I got 31 great games. I cannot wait for them. I'm going to be watching all 31 Dodger games on the other side. I got 62 baseball games that I'm going to be hanging on every pitch, and that's you. This is
Yo,
what we
this,
want, man. This
is
great.
This should be I had real quick before we go to break. I had breakfast this morning with a old high school baseball teammate that's from San Diego. He now lives in Oregon, and he's got four girls. They're all big Padre fans, and I was just explaining to him, like, yo, it's kind of still surreal to me to show up to the ballpark every day and there's like 40,000 people in there, like, and the place is, I mean, it felt like that, it felt like we had a top on and we were blowing it off that whole series with the Dodgers. And I say that all to say that this 31 that we got left is going to be so much fun along with whatever comes after it. So, you know, this is, we'll have this conversation again, I'm sure. It might be about a lineup, might be about a pitcher, who knows? Maybe the 26th spot on the roster. I don't know. But we'll have this conversation again, and we'll all just try to remind us this is where we want to be. These, all this stuff is, we're having these conversations this late because these games actually matter.
So. Chris and I were talking about it last week. You know, in years past, we were already previewing the NFL season, kind of just saying, oh, Padres are playing tonight. You know, kind of
there's
thing.
There's going to be a generation of kids that saw this, and this is what they know. They only know the Padres being in the middle of everything.
So expectations are going to be very high from those kids.
yes, it's only going to get worse moving forward if they keep playing like this. All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:38 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. has to hop on the bus, head to the ballpark.
I think he's coming back for this, for some of the interview.
Okay, he'll be back and forth for a bit here. But yeah, the bus leaves like at the top of the hour, and I've had to make those buses before. Can't like walk out of your room at 1 minute to three.
What?
They wouldn't be happy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As I've learned over time, and I'm sure Tony has, it's the old Pete Carroll theory on being making the bus. If you're on time, you're late. Got to be early. So, anyway, Tony will be with us in and out. We are going to visit with Ryan Divish, Seattle Times. Check in on the Mariners. They got a lot of work to do. They're trying to get into the playoffs as well. They're trying to win their division as well. And they're battling the Houston Astros there. By the way, really? Like the Vetter Cup at this point?
Why is it? I don't even really hear it being mentioned. It's not a thing anymore. I think we had a Vetter Cup like series earlier this year.
Well, the Mariners won the first three games here.
I know.
So if they win one more, they clinch the cup.
Oh, I see.
Or if the Padres, I think the Mariners outscored the Padres by 12 runs. So the Padres would have to sweep the series, outscore them by 13 runs now. But I'm just saying, the Vetter Cup was a fun thing to invent when neither of these teams were in contention.
Yeah,
but now that these games really mean something, the Vetter Cup seems like kind of a silly aside to me.
It certainly does.
Right? I mean, is anyone going to be depressed? I mean, if we lose tonight, the Padres lose tonight, everyone's going to be depressed because they lost and maybe lost ground. Not because the Vetter Cup hopes have gone awry. And by the way, the Dodgers are playing the Reds tonight. And the Reds have a whole lot to play for. They're trying to get back into the playoff spot. Right now, they're on the outside looking in. They need to win to try to get themselves back in the wild card race. So like I said, 31 games for the Padres, 31 games for the Dodgers, and I'm going to be leaning on every pitch. 62 games. Love it. They're going to be doing the same thing in Seattle where the Mariners begin play two back of the Astros. Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, thank you so much for the time, sir. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. It's interesting because I'm down on the field and the pregame playlist right now is nothing but Pearl Jam songs, which that doesn't make me upset, you know, but these other guys, the players, they don't have any idea who Pearl Jam is.
They're trying to push this Vetter Cup thing down our throat. They truly are.
Yeah.
So
never underestimate the marketing people for the Mariners and once they latch on to something. But, you know, we always used to call it the Vetter Cup as a running joke, which is kind of amusing because Eddie Vetter is a known Cubs fan growing up, but you know, it's cool. And, like, all the stuff that they're doing goes to charity and stuff like that. So
right.
That's kind of cool.
So
he's supposedly going to be here today or tomorrow, too. for it. So.
That part is good. Ryan, enjoy talking to you about the Mariners. And, of course, last time they came to San Diego and they swept and they showed, you know, what they have. I mean, their pitching was incredible. I think the Padres scored 3 runs the entire series. You know, talk a little bit about Bryce Miller, who's kind of working his way back. And then Castillo and Wu. Wu has been incredible. I mean, on the All-Star team, setting records, from what I recall, for 6-inning performances. You know, the Mariners' starting pitching has been pretty much all that, has it not?
Well, you know, it was more so last year. This year, because of how good they were last year and how many innings they logged last year, we've seen some of these guys struggle a little bit and deal with some injury stuff. You know, Bryce Miller has not pitched a ton this year. He has some bone spurs in his elbow, and so he got a couple different shots in it, and now he's able to pitch, but it's something I'm sure he'll probably have addressed in the offseason. But like the last round of PRP shots and rest and everything, he came back and was throwing 99 miles an hour and really kind of looked like the Bryce Miller of last year, who was one of their better pitchers down the stretch. So he'll go tonight, and he looks, you know, it looks like he's going to be a more competitive guy than he was early in the year, where the elbow was bothering him and it just wasn't the same. Castillo has been pretty solid. You know, a few years ago, this guy was like dominant, but kind of like all pitchers, you get in your 30s, the fastball isn't quite as explosive and, you know, just isn't quite the same, but he's kind of figured out how to combat that a little bit with his changeup, slider, kind of that kind of stuff. He's been really solid this year. And then, Brian Wu, you're right. He's been their best pitcher, honestly. He's got 25 consecutive starts. All 25 of his starts, he's gone 6 innings or more.
Yeah.
And that's something that hasn't been done by many people. I think Zach Greinke did 32, was the last person to go more than 25. So, you know, that'll be tough to get to 32, I think. And Zach Greinke was a freak. But, you know, Wu has just been outstanding. And this is a guy that was a 6th-round pick who they drafted after he'd had Tommy John surgery, knowing he was coming off of Tommy John surgery. And I think had a 6.5 or 6.2 ERA in college. Like, they just knew the athlete and the mechanics, arm slot, everything. One of their pitching gurus said, this guy is going to be really good and we need to draft him. And so I think they took him in the 5th round or 6th round, and he's been outstanding. And, you know, they're starting to get kind of back. Logan Gilbert missed time with injury. George Kirby missed time with injury. Bryce Miller. All these guys are starting to come back, and they're all starting to look kind of what they did last year. And in a way, maybe the injuries were a blessing in the sense that they're not at 185 innings right now or 175 innings. They're at, you know, they all have some energy left, and that's pretty important because, you know, they really want to get that division title. I mean, I think as much as Padres fans want to beat the Dodgers and take the NL West, I think the Mariners want to beat the Astros even more, just because, you know, the Astros have just run roughshod, and you have the whole cheating scandal and everything else over the last few years.
Maybe we can both win all 3 games of this series somehow. Visiting with Ryan Dinick up in Seattle. I can't believe I waited to the second question to ask about the big dumper. But, I mean, this guy, he's taken baseball by storm. I can only imagine what it's like in Seattle. And he gave everybody... What a thrill yesterday. Ties the all-time record for home runs by a catcher, then breaks it. 49, the next one will be 50. No catcher's ever done that. He's got a chance to break the switch hitting record, 56 by Mickey Mantle. Who knows, he could even get the 61 for the American League record. Just your thoughts. Aaron Judge is the MVP front runner. I see that. I get it. But I also know that Cal Raleigh is catching one of the better staffs in baseball and doing historical things. He'd get my vote, but I don't have one. Talk about the big dumper and his emergence.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just been – it's there. I've never seen a season quite like this. You know, and you're right. It's what he's doing at the plate has never been done before by a catcher. You know, he passed. Like, Salvi Perez held the record of 48 home runs in a season as a catcher.
Yeah.
That's over a season. We still have 6 weeks left.
Right.
And he's at 49. You know, Griffey hit 56. That's the mark here in Seattle. It's very possible. When you do something better than Ken Griffey does in a season, then you've done something. And you're doing it as a catcher. Like, he's getting the crap beat out of him all the time, and he plays almost every game. He very, you know, if you look at games played, he's played more games than Aaron Judge. I know Judge went on the IL, but even before that, Cal was on a pace to play more than and Judge because he doesn't want to sit out. You know, he don't catch every game, but he catches, I think, probably 80%. You know, he the last 2 years, he's caught more innings than any other catcher. And, oh, yeah, he, by the way, he's the Platinum Glove winner, not just the Gold Glove winner, the Platinum Glove winner. Everybody swears by his game calling. Receiving is considered the best framer in baseball. Like, everything about him, you know, you like. And so I'd have no problem voting for him for the MVP simply based on the rigors of the position. I mean, like, yeah. I played catcher in college at a very crappy level, and it beat the hell out of me. And, you know, so I can't even imagine trying to catch Andrés Muñoz throwing 99-mile-per-hour sinkers and what that does to your thumb on a daily basis. Like, this guy hosts. You know, as he said the one time, and the Mariners have that shirt, the best ability is availability, and he's available to play. He doesn't want to sit. And I think very indicative of Cal on that day yesterday. It was so, you know, it was such a huge deal, and all he wanted to talk about is how much they needed to win and how much he was excited about Logan Gilbert striking out a career-high 13 guys. I mean, that's what the crazy part is like he has not changed one bit with all the success. You know, he doesn't crave it. He doesn't like the spotlight. He was telling me the other day about how he went to Costco with his girlfriend and got recognized, and like it just was like craziness to him that people at a Costco recognized him, and like he goes, I couldn't even get the hot dog, you know? Like, it's I can't even imagine him changing. You know, I've covered him since they drafted him in the third round. And a funny story about that was is that Cal had a pre-draft agreement with the Braves, and nobody was supposed to draft him because he wouldn't sign. So he was supposed to go to the Braves.
Wow.
And the Mariners said, oh, no, we're going to take our chances. We're going to draft him, and we'll be able to sign him. And they did.
Good move.
Like, you know, and he now he's with them, and he's their franchise guy. And, I mean, you know, the whole big dumper thing and everything, probably Jared Kelnick's greatest contribution to baseball at this point was that nickname. But this is, you know, he's embraced it. He has a sense of responsibility that comes with the contract that he receives. And kind of the notoriety, you know, we always wrote that Julio Rodriguez was the face of the franchise. But I honestly, and I wrote this earlier, that Cal was the conscience of the franchise because he's been outspoken about success, critical of management at times even. Yeah. And you know what? They understood it, and they said that this guy is that good and he cares that much that we're not going to punish him for it. And instead, they rewarded him with a contract extension.
Talking to Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times here on 97.3 The Fan, I wanted to ask you about the trades because the two teams that were most mentioned in the trade deadline were the Mariners with getting Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor and more, and then the Padres acquiring all the players they did. What was the real-time thought process up there about what you were giving up or what the Mariners were giving up for what they were receiving?
They just looked at their lineup and knew that they had holes at first and third base. And it was readily apparent that they didn't do much in the offseason. You know, they didn't move or spend very much money in the offseason to address those needs. So I think once they recognize, okay, we're here they are in this spot where they have a chance to win a division title and certainly make the postseason, and you're getting this historic level season from your catcher, that they realize they couldn't just sit on their hands and hope that what they had was good enough. And I mean, it did work out in the sense that, like, Naylor and Suarez are rentals. Mariners have one of the best farm systems and probably the best farm system in all of baseball. They could move some guys to get guys. I think the biggest surprise to me in all of the trade deadline was that AJ Preller and Jerry DePoto didn't make a trade with each other. I mean, every year it seems like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So those guys helped. I mean, like, you know, you're bringing in Naylor and Suarez. They're real dudes. They have experience. They both played in the postseason. You know, they can handle themselves. You don't have to worry about them in terms of, like, their mindset or handling the pressure of playing in a postseason race. And it made so much sense for them to go out and get those guys. You almost didn't think it was going to happen, but they were able to make it work. I think the one thing that's hurt them is, like, they thought they had a deal for Johan Duran. They thought they had it done. From what it sounded like, it was going to be Harry Ford and the catching prospect, Harry Ford, and another guy. And Philly swooped in at the last minute and offered more, and they just couldn't go there. And, I mean, you put Johan Duran with Andrés Muñoz and Matt Brash, who the Mariners fans probably thank the Padres for, but Muñoz and Brash, and Gabe Fire, who's been sneaky great this year. And that's a really tough three or four innings that you can cover, but they just couldn't get it done. And I think that's their biggest weakness right now, is their bullpen. They're just about an arm short. They need a guy that can strike guys out, and they need one more guy like that, and they don't have it right now.
Well, I think that the fun thing to me, I mean, these two teams, first of all, they work out both in Peoria in the spring training, right? So they're together there. They got the Vetter Cup connection. They also, neither of them has won a World Series. And I think both of them make big moves at the trade deadline. They're both battling for division titles against hated rivals. It really seems like the teams are looking at each other this week. And hopefully they see each other, have a great series. And hopefully, I would love to see it happen again in October. I think it's a possibility. Ryan, you're always good to us. We appreciate it. Enjoy the series this week up in Seattle. Thanks for the time.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Yes, sir. Ryan Divish, Seattle Times. He's really good. Had a chance to talk to him when he was in San Diego. Nice guy. And,
oh, you did?
Well connected.
Nice.
But I just can't get over the big dumper. I mean, I do not want to see the dumper hit a home run this week, but I, you know.
We're going to see him hit a home run most likely.
He's going to hit one, and it's going to be 50, and it's going to be, you know, no catchers ever done that.
Yeah.
To me, there's a little history here. And, to have a platinum glove, to have 50 home runs as a catcher, to play every day. I know they want to give the thing to Judge because he's Aaron Judge, but I don't think Judge is more valuable.
I don't either.
Not this year. I don't either. So
I guess we'll see how it turns out. Yeah, but it's the age-old debate. Like, could the Yankees win as many games with Aaron Judge? Probably not. Could the Mariners win as many games without the big dumper? Probably not.
And the other part is how many East Coast voters stay up and watch Cal Raleigh play every night in Seattle? Very few. So, they see the statistics, but they don't see what this guy's doing on a daily basis. I'm pretty excited to see what he's doing. He's a switch hitter. He doesn't just, bash righties as a left-handed hitter. He turns around and bashes lefties as a right-handed hitter. It's quite remarkable what he is doing this year, and I'm kind of looking forward to watching him in the next few days. Hopefully, Padres can do to him what they did to Otani and, Betts and Freeman until yesterday, keeping those big stars down. All right, good stuff from Ryan Divish. We got a Daily Gambit. We'll take a look at some of the other stuff coming up in sports tonight. Like I said, Dodgers got the Reds. Padres got the M's. It's going to be fun. I mean, look, if the two trade deadline winners do meet in the World Series, it's going to be these two teams.
It is.
So I think these two teams are really, really similar.
I love his line. So the best thing Jared Kelnick has done in baseball.
Best thing he's ever done. It is.
The big dumper.
The big dumper. And kudos to Cal Raleigh for just
going with
all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. More Gwen and Chris coming up.